All right, everybody here. Did anybody beep in just now, or is that just Sally
No,
and Mary?
I didn't hear anything. And you know, Chris is in Hawaii, right?
That's right, he is.
For 2 weeks, so he probably won't be on.
Yeah, well, he told me he's got an update. I think that you guys may have heard. He was trying to negotiate a seller financing deal with for a townhome over in, I think it's SeaTac or Berrien, or one of those. He just called me, I think 4 or 5 days ago, and said that he got the one sister to sign, and he's waiting for the other sister to sign her half. But he might have his first deal, seller finance. So pretty exciting.
Oh, that would be great. So is that how is he going to work that then?
It's a zero down, long term seller finance deal. So he's I think that it was going to be zero interest, but I think that he ended up getting like maybe a 2% interest rate.
Oh, nice.
And a payment that he's going to end up having a roommate in. I think that when it's all said and done, he'll own the place in between the rent that he gets from his the roommate minus the mortgage that he would have and homeowners association dues. I think it's going to cost him maybe $400 a month.
Oh, nice. Well, okay, so I thought he was doing a condo, so it's a townhouse, not a condo.
Well, okay, so yeah, maybe it is, yeah, it's a condo.
Okay.
I don't really know exactly, you know, difference or whatever, but
All right, I got you. I thought this was something in addition to that. Yeah, he said it was a condo, but
right.
Wonderful. That's great.
Yeah, very, very cool. I guess I have a couple updates. It's been 2 weeks since we called. So I've sold two lease options in this time. One of them was that property that I own that I had put out there in Tacoma. And
which one,
so,
the 2-1 in Tacoma?
So we have a 2-1 in Tacoma that I sold on a lease purchase. So I've got a tenant in there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had another one in Port Orchard, which was a cooperative lease option, a wholesale lease option, which I found a tenant buyer with $4,000 put down, and I agreed to pay the seller $2,000, so that's a $2,000 assignment fee on that one.
Nice.
So that one, yeah, we just signed them up on Friday, so that's, you know,
that's
not,
great,
not a big paycheck, but it's something, you know.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's great. That's terrific.
Can you go into a little bit more of what sealed the deal or what made the deal?
Yeah,
or,
so this one is interesting because I've already made money on this once before. It was a deal that I originally found the seller, let's see, maybe 3 years ago, and I can't remember if he called me or I think it might have been us responding to Craigslist ads. So I think that he had it for rent. And then I talked to him about lease purchase. At the time, I don't really know how the negotiation went on it, but I was able to lock it up for lease purchase. I made, I think, $2,500 the first time I did it. And after a year and a half, the tenant buyer moved out. And then what he did was he just put a regular renter in immediately following. But I guess the renter that he put in I think was becoming slow on paying and wasn't really taking care of the place. And so he got him out of there and didn't want to just rent it again. He liked the lease option better. So he called me up and he said, hey, I want to do the lease option again. You want to do the same thing we did before? And so I pretty much did. By this time I have a little bit of different paperwork. So it didn't take a whole lot for me to really negotiate that. I mean, it was one where he contacted me. So I just said, all right, well, what's the lease you take down? And he said, well, I'm not quite sure. And I said, well, you know, if you got $2,000 down and $1,395 a month, would that be something that you'd consider? And he's like, yeah, I could probably go with that. So what I did was I asked him what the lowest he'd go on purchase price. He was wanting to get like $225, and I went to Zillow, and Zillow had it for like maybe $210 or $215. It was lower than the 225, and so I called him back and I said, you know, we could do 225. The only thing I'm concerned about is that a lot of tenant buyers or people looking at houses, they go to Zillow, and I tend to the ones that are priced too much above Zillow, I tend to have a little bit of a challenge finding a buyer. But and so he was okay with a 2-year option at at 225. And so I told him, I said, well, why don't we do this? Will you go down to 219 if somebody will cash you out in a year? And he said, I could do that. And I said, and then if it takes longer than a year, then we'll bump it up to the 225. And so so he agreed to that. And so what that allowed me to do is to market the property a little bit lower. So I marketed it for actually, I marketed it for 221. So I took his 219. I added 2,000 for my anticipated wholesale fee. That way I can market it for $4,000 down, and when the tenant buyer paid the $4,000, I got two of it, and so the seller still got the 219 with the $2,000 that he
wanted. Okay.
So I guess the teaching point on that is if you have somebody that is asking, you know, that might have a little bit of equity but wants a higher price than you think would be good. So let's just say same situation. They want 225, but you think it might only be worth 210 or 215, or it'd be easier for you to market if you could do that number. Then just say, well, I know you're willing to give 3 years at a 225 price, but what if somebody is able to cash you out early? Would you go lower? And then that might allow you to advertise a lower price and say, you know, this is a 1-year lease option at 219. You can buy it for 219, or you could, extend beyond that at a different price.
So because you don't know if they're really going to be able to cash a person out at that time, that's why you say, well, do you actually have the original contract that says, well, you know, it's at 219, and if it goes beyond 1 year, then it's 225, or how do you...
So that's exactly what I did. What I did is I mentioned the two prices. I said a 1-year price at 219. If it's after 1 year, it'd be 225.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't advertise the higher price on my marketing. I just advertised the first price, and I said buy it in 1 year or extend if you need more time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
And it looks like I'll be getting another property back. This is one I own, and I haven't. My tenant actually has not called me yet, but I found out because he has friended me on Facebook from a year ago when he moved in, or a year and a half ago. And I saw his Facebook post. He said, "Hey, good news! We just finalized it. We're moving to San Diego in September." So.
Okay.
He hasn't told me about that yet, but.
But you saw it.
I'll have another one available. It's kind of one of those where if he bought it for me, I probably would not make any money from it because I don't have any equity. But so if I have to put another tenant in and give it another round, I'm okay with, because I have a little bit of cash flow and get an extra deposit wouldn't be too bad.
Mm-hmm. So Mike, so how did you come to the $4,000 option fee for? The upfront fee for this other one. Did you just think it would not support more? Because, you know, 225 or 219 is a pretty good price. Wouldn't you have thought it would have supported like 7,000 or 8,000 or something?
Well, typically I've been advertising on average around 2%.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I could probably have gone higher. I ended up getting this one sold in about 2 weeks. So, I guess it just depends. I thought 4,000 was a good quick price that I could get going, but I might have been able to get more if I would have held out. And I might consider that with other properties.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, I kind of just pulled it from air.
Okay, and what did you say that the monthly rent and then the option on top of that is?
So it's $1,395 is the total payment, and then what we had was a $250 option credit each month.
Okay.
So it's
okay.
$1,145 went to rent, $250 went to the purchase.
Okay, all right. And do you have forms that you use for that that might be helpful? Like I probably might be able to pull something from our old Power Player stuff, but I would imagine you probably have something updated.
For the contracts for getting them on our contract?
Right, because the rental agreement has to be separate from the option.
I've got the option, the lease option. That's the form I got from Joe McCall, and I've actually been using his lease paperwork. So I can email that to you guys.
That would be really helpful, Mike.
It's basically a standard lease agreement,
uh-huh.
And then the second one is an option to purchase agreement. That's the
okay.
So they are separate. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, and so then you just give that stuff to the seller. I mean,
well, there's two different ways to close these transactions, and
uh-huh.
I've done them both ways. The first way is you can. Instead of assigning your agreement to the tenant buyer, what you can do is, since you have the house locked up under an option agreement,
mm-hmm.
you can cancel the option agreement for a fee. And so in that case, you'd have the seller pay you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And they're paying you not a commission, they're paying you a cancellation fee so that they can enter into an agreement with another buyer. The other way to do it is to assign your option to lease option to a tenant buyer and have them
uh-huh.
pay you a fee for that.
Okay.
And
so
which
way do you prefer and why?
Well, I think that I've done more deals where I've had the seller sign a cancellation, and the reason for that is if the buyer doesn't have a whole lot of money to put down,
uh-huh.
Say $3,000 or $4,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
If I have the seller pay me a cancellation fee, then they would receive the entire check from the buyer,
mm-hmm.
and I think in some cases a future lender might have less of a problem with applying that to the purchase as a down payment than if the buyer was to pay me an assignment fee and pay the seller just a small amount.
I see. Okay.
So
okay.
You know, if you work with the right lender, right underwriter, and you
uh-huh.
can show that the money was going towards the purchase of the house, then
yes.
then you can get it through. But I've kind of heard in some cases that some investors around the country, depending on the lender they're working with,
mm-hmm.
have had an issue getting the buyer's assignment fee included as a down payment when they go to get financing.
Okay.
And so.
Okay.
Like in this case, I did a cancellation of option.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
And somebody else today, Mike, when I was talking about a lease option, they said that they had heard that when they've got somebody doing a lease option, maybe it was just a rent from them, but he said that he heard that, like, if he moves on and he goes to get financing on another house, that the bank would want to see somebody in there for about a total of a year, like seasoning. I'd never heard of that.
Okay, so restate that question again.
Well, he said, I had offered to, you know, either do a lease option wholesale or, you know, just that we've got people who really want to buy and put them in and, you know, they actually pay the additional option payment above the rent because
uh-huh.
they really want to buy the house. Anyway, so, you know, and I said, so if they're paying your mortgage, then, you know, that leaves you to go do what you want. He was planning on moving. But he said, well, if he goes to, he had heard, and his concern was that if he goes to purchase another house and
right.
he needs to get financing, that the bank would need to see that this person was in his other house for like a total of a year, kind of like a seasoning issue.
Right. So, okay, so I think I know where that comes from, and it's basically – they don't want to use the income from that rental.
Yes, exactly. That would probably be it.
Unless it's been seasoned for a year, Now, that typically, there are a couple things that they can get around that. One is if that person's owned rental property in the past.
Mm-hmm. And then, he probably had not.
Okay, so in that case, they might need a year. The other one is if they can show that the move was done because it was some kind of job transfer or forced move where they didn't. It wasn't something that they did just on a whim. Because I had a situation with a tenant buyer in one of my properties that ended up moving from, he owned a house, he moved into my lease option, and he rented the other one out. And when it came time to get financed, the underwriter had an issue with him using the income from his rental to offset his mortgage payment on his other ones.
And so
we were trying a couple different ways to go around that thing, and then I think that we had it, and it just so happened that particular tenant actually ended up filing for divorce with his wife, and that helped things up. So I think that potentially could be an issue if it's not rented for a year in some cases.
Hmm.
But I don't think that's going to be with every lender. I think that's only going to be with certain lenders.
Hmm. Okay. It's interesting because Ron LeGrand never mentions that as an issue.
Well, here's the thing on all of this is that there's always a way to get around that by working with the right lenders, the right underwriters. Certain banks that do portfolio loans are going to be a lot more lenient, and they're going to be able to usually find some kind of extenuating circumstances to kind of get around that. So it just depends. If they're running into trouble with one lender, it's probably a good idea to go find somebody else.
Okay. And any national lenders that you know are good to work with or are?
I honestly really don't know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That helps.
So what's happening with you on your investing end with? You were starting to talk before about some sellers or something marketing before we start recording.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Well, I was talking about the one potential property. He's had it listed. He's moving, and he's very open to getting a lease option tenant in there.
Okay.
And his PITA is around $2,900 a month. It's
okay.
A very high end. Let me give you the address, Mike, so you can look at it. Right now, he said he assured me he was taking it off. I looked at it a few minutes ago. It looked like it was still on the MLS, but you know maybe they just didn't pull it today. But he assured me that he was actually, because I said I don't want to even touch it until it's off. And as a matter of fact, I just called him because you know he called me for my yellow letters. He said you know I wanted to talk to you, and I called him up and I said. If it's a listed property, you know, why don't you call me if the listing expires and then I can work with you. And he assured me that it was going to be off. Anyway, the address is 5205 35th Avenue Southwest.
35th Avenue Southwest?
Uh-huh, 5205 35th Avenue Southwest.
And then 98126.
It's in West Seattle. I mean, he's actually a contractor. So the house is beautiful. There's actually even a rental behind, and he was using it as a rental for a while, and he was getting, what did he say, $750 a month. It includes utilities. You know, it's got water and shower and, you know, you name it. So it's really a separate little unit. But then he said he had his mom move in there because she was living with them. You know, for a while. But anyway, so he would, you know, and he might go down more. He said it was appraised recently at, now he told me, I mean, I don't know if this was true. I think he said 680 grand, but he listed it and it's gone down like a total of 100 grand since he's listed it. So he said he would be willing to do a lease option at 520.
Okay.
But and his PITI, like I said, is $2,900. So, you know, it is a beautiful, beautiful house. But I don't know. I may have to talk him down further. We'll see.
It's weird. His tax assessment is $291, and it hasn't changed for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and he's done a lot. I mean, can you see the inside of the house at all?
Yeah, I saw the pictures. It looks really nice.
Yeah. And like I said, he said there's a rental at the back. So I don't know. I don't know if I could get a lease option tenant, you know, at $2,900. But, you know, it's possible.
Well, so here's the deal. What would be a mortgage payment on 520?
Yeah, I don't have my calculator right here, but I can figure that out. So looking at it, probably be about $4,000, right? Something like that.
Let me check. Hold on.
I'm just doing it in my head, but.
Let's just say they have financed $500,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And
maybe about 4.5%. Well, actually, 4. It's a jumbo. No, a jumbo is 600 or 580. 580, right? So it wouldn't be a jumbo.
So I'm assuming their payment at around 4.5% is going to be approximately, you know, like $2,900 a month.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So that's assuming a 1% a year property tax, which actually is lower right now. But assume that property tax seems low, but that's gonna be just under $3,000. So if the person is going to be buying that house in a year or two, they're going to need to afford a payment of $2,900, $3,000, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
to ask for a payment of that much for the lease purchase, I think it makes total sense.
So you did it at $500,000. You did it at 4.5 for 30 years?
That's right.
Okay.
That assumes 1% a month property tax.
Okay.
So, like, that's like $500 a month. And actually, it probably would not. Or no, it's 1% property tax should be $5,000 a year, but it's probably going to be lower than that. So it's going to be like, I think it's 0.7%.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's $2,850 to $2,950, somewhere in that range.
Okay. All right. So what would you think an option fee on top of that would be?
You'd want to ask between $10,000 and $20,000.
Wait a second. How much per month?
I'd say option fee. I think you should ask for $10,000 and $20,000.
Right. But then what would the monthly additional be? What do you think on top of the? That's why that didn't make any sense. What? Okay.
Now he says he needs $2,800 a month.
He says he needs $2,900. He's telling me PITA is $2,900.
Okay. So what I would do is. I would figure out what his principal pay down on his mortgage is,
mm-hmm.
and say, let's just say it's $400 a month. If he's paying off $400 a month, then I would say have a lease purchase payment match that. So it'd be $2,900 a month with $400 going towards the purchase.
Ah, okay, all right. And would he know that, or?
Well, I don't know if he would know it, or I mean, he should know it. But
yeah,
you can arbitrarily say. I mean, it might even be more than that. You might even tell him, "Hey, I'm looking, you know, $500 a month or $600 a month off." The higher the rent credit that you can negotiate,
mm-hmm.
the easier it's going to be to flip. So that's the one thing you want to remember is that you always want to negotiate well on your end, because that is a perk that might make it easier to find a buyer.
Okay, and he is pretty motivated. So, but I mean, if it's if it's amortized, then initially you're paying off more principal or less principal than you are at the end. So I mean, so we'd have to look at how much principal he's paying off in the next probably 2 years, right? About.
You could look at it that way, and you could say, hey, he's getting $380 towards principal right now,
mm-hmm.
and then by the time 3 years comes, he'll be getting $440 each month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you could go and you can find out what the average is and divide it by 36 months and go, all right, that's average of $400 a month. You know what? One thing that I, you know, you could advertise this house at, say, $520 a month or $520,000 with 10 or 15,000 down or whatever, 20 grand down, and then monthly payment of $2,900 with a $400 a month rent credit. Or one, the other thing you could do is you might even, it might even be more advantageous to offer the seller a little higher price.
Mm-hmm.
And get a higher rent credit. So you could say, "What if we got you? What if I offered you $530,000, but you gave instead of $400 a month credit, you
mm-hmm.
would give a $1,000 a month credit?"
Sure, sure. Yeah, that always, I'm sure, looks really attractive to people. And then if they don't purchase, then he gets all that back anyway. So
yeah, so basically what you're doing is you're raising the price, but you're increasing the rent credit.
Mm-hmm.
And a buyer, it might make it look more attractive to have the higher rent credit.
Awesome, I bet. Okay.
Because if you look at the estimate on that house, is $559,000.
Okay.
Whether or not that's accurate or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know about Zillow is people check Zillow.
Yep, absolutely.
Though,
mm-hmm.
And they can maybe use that as a barometer to whether or not they're getting a good deal.
Yep, for sure. Okay. That's great thinking, Mike. I never thought about that. That's great. That's really helpful.
So I'll tell you, is there anything else, any other deals you need help with?
I've been, there is one, and I sent it to you, and I don't know if I have it right here, but it's a property that I tried to take subject to, and subject to may not work, it may have to be seller financing.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is that she owes, I'm doing this by memory, like $305,000 to $307,000 on her mortgage.
Yeah, the ARV is 450.
Conservative is 450 grand. I think I could get more for that house. Yeah. And so she'd be willing to sell it for the 300. And so what I thought I'd do is I'd pay her mortgage. If I could take it subject to, I'd pay her mortgage for the time that that she, you know, that I take to rehab it, and then cash her out for the 307 and 308 whatever it is, and so that she'd actually be getting like an additional, you know, say takes me 4 or 5 or 6 months max, she'd be getting 12, an extra 12, but I think now she wants more, so I'm not sure. You know, and she may not want me to take it subject to, so I may have to, you know, buy it, just do the closing. There's not as much on my purchase end, but with seller financing, or maybe I offer to give her 10% of the profits, or what do you think would be equitable in a case like that?
Okay, let me look at the numbers here again. So you think that conservatively it's 450? You feel pretty good about that?
Do you have that in front of you? If not, I'll go, because
yeah,
I had sent you an email.
I've got it.
Okay.
I have it. So you said it conservatively, fixed up price is 450.
Yeah.
She has 305 to 307,
mm-hmm.
and you think it needs 35 to 40 grand max.
Yeah, and then, you know, probably holding, you know, it can be another grand or 5 grand or something.
So
probably
you,
50
you,
max is what it would. I mean, I think that's on the really high side. I haven't been in the house. She's on the east side with her mom right now, because her mom was in a nursing home. But so she's not, I mean, it's not something that, you know, she said, I have to sell. But I think it would kind of open up doors for her so she could spend more time with her mom right now. And so I think when my letter came, she was kind of open to it. And she doesn't want to go through, you know, living in it and fixing it up at the same time. So she could be out, you know, in like a month or a couple weeks or something like that. But she kind of wants a win-win, and I agree with that. But I don't like to do rehabs for less than 30 or 40 because there's always the oops, you know. And
all right. So this is what I can recommend. First thing I do is I want to find out what the cash mayo is. So I go 0.65 times 450, 0.65 times 450 would be 292.5, and you said minus 50 at max. That's 242.5. So if you're going to pay cash for this, you're not going to pay over 242.5. Well, she owes 305, so cash mail doesn't work. Then you go, all right, well, would I be able to pay more if I could take it over subject to? And,
subject
yeah,
to or some kind of seller financing. I mean, she, you know,
sure,
she's not making me pay until I sell it.
So that's something you can do. Then you got to go, all right, well, if I buy it for what she owes and I put my money into the rehab, then what would be your expected profit? So if at 450, if you're able to get 450 and you have 10% selling cost, then you're going to be just over 400,000 as your net minus what you put into the property from a fix-up cost and the mortgage. So let's just say you got 405 after paying your realtor cost.
Okay, and don't forget, I would have to pay her monthly payments, which are like $2,000, right?
Okay.
I mean,
so yeah, let's figure 5 months holding cost. That's another 10.
Mm-hmm.
So 405, or let me just do this, 450 times 0.9, so that's 10% selling cost. Now you're at 405, minus 10 for holding cost, minus 50 for remodel. That brings us down to 345. And now she owes, say, 305. That means there's a $40,000 profit. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, this is kind of a skinnier deal.
Mm-hmm. But I think the 50 grand is really pretty high, actually. But I'd rather
right.
be conservative. So I guess, I mean, if it was 40K profit, I could offer to pay her, you know, based on profit, like 10%, I suppose.
What you could do is, would you be trying to get a private lender for this, or would you be using your own dough?
I think I was thinking of using my own money.
Okay.
I don't have any private lenders. I need to, but I don't.
Well, if you're using your own dough, you don't have to go by any kind of rules of trying to keep it at a certain amount of value to try to keep a lender. So, you know, you can take a little bit more chances. What I would want to do is find out what's the absolute worst case scenario. If the house, if everything goes wrong, am I going to make money on this?
Mm-hmm.
If 450, if it doesn't sell for 450, what happens if it sells for like 420 or
mm-hmm.
or something? If it sells for 420. And let's say it takes 60 grand in remodel because you found a big surprise. 420
mm-hmm.
times 0.9 minus 60, that leaves 318. So you'd still make about $13,000. Oh, minus your $10,000 in holding costs. So you basically break even if you sold at 420 and you had $60,000 in remodel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I know that this is the absolute worst case, and I still might make a little money, I might consider it. But
so you said worst case is like 318 minus 10K in holding, so 8K. So 8K profit.
Yeah.
I don't like doing that. Mm-hmm.
But if I feel really good about the numbers, if I go and I have contractors that walk through that and I get several bids.
Yep.
And they're all at, say, 45,000, and we don't see any evidence that there could be foundation issues or sewer issues or anything that
mm-hmm.
could be a big bill. If I'm pretty firm at 45K, then what I do is I might do that deal if I make 40,000 bucks. If I put in 45K rehab and I end up making 40 grand profit at the end, I might do that deal.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you're right. If I walk through with a contractor. Okay. Good point.
But you have to also take into mind we're going into middle of August, and so you'd
mm-hmm.
be putting this property back in the market at the earliest, say, October.
Yep.
Which is a good thing. It's going to slow down a little bit.
Yeah. And so would you give her any more? I mean, because she sounded like she wanted something a little bit more equitable or, you know.
Probably not.
Okay.
It's a slim deal as it stands, so I think that...
I mean, if I gave her, you know, 10% of the profit, if the profit was over 20 grand.
Right.
I mean...
So what I need to do, or what I would recommend doing, is talking with her,
mm-hmm.
and just letting her know that, you know, quite frankly, she owes a lot more on the house than you could pay. If you were to buy this with cash, you could only pay about $240 or something, whatever that number was you said.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so if she really does want to sell, then what you can do is you can say, I'm willing to make a concession and pay more, but this is the only way I'm able to do it. I take over your loan, take over the payments on your loan until I'm able to sell or refinance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, then I can buy it for what you owe. Or if she needs to make a little bit of money, what you can say is, I'd be willing to pay you, I need to make a minimum of $30,000 on this in order for me to be interested at all. So
mm-hmm.
if you want the potential to make money on it, then this is what we can do. I do the rehab, I get the first $30,000 profit, and then we split the balance 50-50.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, something like that would be, I think, yeah, because then I wouldn't be losing money. Okay. All right.
Right.
Or yeah, then it would be conditional. That's a great idea, Mike.
So I definitely think that you don't give her a dime unless you put it as a caveat of you needing to make your minimum profit first.
Okay. Okay. Okay, that's a great idea. I like that.
Yeah, and you can also do that with contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're working with a contractor who is you're bidding out a job, and if their bid comes in a little higher than you want,
mm-hmm.
what you can do is you can say, well, here's the situation. I know you're saying this job will cost 50 grand. If it's going to cost 50 grand, that's as low as you can go, I can't do the deal. And it's unfortunate because, you know, that means that there's no profit for me and there's no job for you. I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit on my profit if you're willing to sacrifice a little bit on your guaranteed pay. So why don't we do this? If you can do this job for $44,000,
mm-hmm.
okay, or say they bid 50 and you say, well, if you can do it for 44 grand, as long as I can make the 30,000 I need to make, what I'll do is I'll split 50-50 anything above that with you. So you have the opportunity to make more than 50,000 on it if we can sell it for more.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of do it that way. So you give the contractor an option of making
okay.
potentially more money if you reach your minimum.
Okay. All right. That's awesome. All right. And so what is your minimum amount of rehab, by the way? Is it 30? Is it 40? What do you normally, what's your minimum?
My minimum amount for that I spend on a rehab?
No, just your minimum profit that you would accept on a rehab.
Oh, you know, I don't really have a minimum because I base most of my deals off of a 65% MAO. Or
mm-hmm.
our ARV minus repairs.
Yeah, okay.
Typically, what that, you know, usually for most houses that I've been buying, that equates to a profit of $30,000, usually
okay.
a minimum.
Okay.
If I bought a house where the ARV was $120,000, that's a pretty little house. And if I sold it for $120,000, then I could be in it 120 times 0.7. I can be in it 84,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then 120 times 0.9 minus 84, that would be a 24 grand profit. So if I had an ARV of 120, that would mean a profit of about 24 grand if I
okay.
bought it at mail.
Okay. And you use private investors, and what do you pay most of them, most of your lenders? Is it 5%, did you say?
6 to 7%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That really helps. And I may have another one that's kind of like that too. You know, actually a realtor called me and his parents want to sell their house, but I haven't even comped it out. I just got the phone call like right before I picked up this call, and but he's a realtor, so I'm thinking, well, maybe I can work something out where is if he sells it, you know, then we can do
sure.
something with the profit or give him some of the profit. Or, you know, he figures if he doesn't have to market it, but there was a short sale on a one of the houses right next door, which kind of brings the value down of his parents. So, and his parents needs work, but he thinks that they would allow seller financing until I fixed it up as well. But I don't know if the counselor is good on that way. So I may run that one by you, you know, work out the numbers and just have you, you know, approve that, bless the numbers that I did it right. That'd be great.
Right, right. Yeah, well, so I'll just shoot an email over to me for anything that you get that you want me to take a look at. We can talk.
Okay, thank you, Mike. This is really helpful.
Good. So, Sally, are you still there?
I am. I am. The seller that you spoke with is still interested, but he wants more for the house. He wants 327, and the comps come out about 291.
Okay.
Is there anything that I can do?
The Asian gentleman that I spoke to?
That's correct.
Okay. So he wants 321?
He wants 327.
327.
Yeah. And we agreed that we would write in that the closing costs would be covered. And I think I can get him down a little bit when he realizes that he isn't going to have to pay realtor fees or seller closing costs. But that's the figure that stuck in his mind.
Okay. And then so tell me again, what do you feel the property appraises for?
It appraises for 291. There's some
okay.
evidence that the market will bear 300,000.
Okay. And then how much does he owe?
He bought it for 405. He's really over his head, but he could come out even for 327.
So he gets out for what he owes if he sells. He owes 327.
That's including the excise tax that he's going to have to pay the state of Washington.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that if you bought it for 327, or no, sorry, if you bought it for the mortgage balance on a 10-year option to buy, would he go for that?
Maybe.
That's what you'd need to do because he... he owes approximately 10% more than the house would appraise for.
Okay.
So in order for this deal to work, he has to be willing to give you a long-term option to buy at the mortgage balance with the monthly lease payment equal to his mortgage payment.
Right.
And so he's not going to make any money off this deal. And he needs to give. The reason he has to give 10 years is because you need an incentive for a buyer to come in and do this deal and buy a house that currently is over financed. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is to be able to show on the amortization table to show a buyer that they're going to have 10 years to buy it. They're going to get all the principal pay down. They're going to have zero pressure to get their credit fixed right away. And then in 7 years, if they decide in 7 years that they are going to move and not buy, then they still have an option for 3 more years that they potentially can sell to make money to somebody else, to make money on a deal that they never even owned. Because
wow.
let's say in 7 years the mortgage gets paid down from 327 all the way down to 280. If it goes down to 280, and let's say that in 7 years the market goes from 300 to 360 in 7 years. That's about 2.5% a year. If it does that, then they owe 280 on a house that's worth 360. They could conceivably find a tenant buyer who would pay them money to have a 3-year option to buy that house at a certain price. and make money on it. So you basically what you want to do is you want to be able to negotiate a deal that will be easy to wholesale.
Right. That's helpful. Thank you.
And he just remember he's the one that's got the problem. So you are in a very strong negotiating position. And my recommendation is, and no one else is going to be able to give him this deal. You're the only person on the planet, I think, that he'll talk to that will be able to give him this deal. So if he won't go for 10 years, then I would say, well, you know, I appreciate that. If you want to try to sell now, you could, but you're going to probably have to come out of pocket about $40,000. Are you in a position to do that? And if he says no, then say, well, you know, this is the best I can offer you. And if it doesn't work, then, you know, that's fine. You can tell me no. I have other houses that I can take a look at. But I'm not going to be able to do this if it's going to be any less than 10 years or, you know, something like that.
The $40,000 out of pocket you're assuming is a commission plus closing costs?
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is that if he sells it for if he sells it for $300, then he's going to net $270, and he owes he owes $300. So, he's going to probably net less than $270. He'll have to pay like $30,000 out of pocket. Oh no, wait, how much? He doesn't owe $300. He's going to pay more out of pocket. He would owe about. He has about $320 on this. He'd have to come out of pocket like $50,000 if he sold it for $300 to a realtor.
To a realtor, yeah. He thinks he can sell it on his own. And,
well, then
and
I would give him a chance. He's going to have to come out of pocket, you know, $20,000 then.
And I've told him that this is not exclusive, and that he would have to approve the buyer.
Yeah.
So, okay, thank you. That's helpful.
Is this
sure.
the deal you've been working on, Sally, where one guy is, or I guess he's in one place and his wife is in another place?
Right, that's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hey,
he's motivated. He's on the edge of foreclosure, or the edge of of the foreclosure process.
Okay. So what happened to the house that you and Vince had found in North Tacoma? Sorry.
Vince and I have been emailing, but we haven't talked about his lead. I'm still working my lead, and the lady that I talked to on Sunday, I'm going to go meet with her tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still live.
Okay, great.
But it's not quite as terse as Ron LeGrand presents it, is it?
Well, yeah.
There's still a lot of back and forth.
Yeah, but this is the one where you guys went and you saw, and they had one for rent, right? And
both Vince's and mine started out to be
okay.
for rent. Yes.
Okay. Great. That would be wonderful.
So I'll tell you what. Is there anything else I could help with? Or I gotta have to get off the call pretty quick here. So
not right now, Mike. Thank you so much.
I think we've covered some good material today. Thank you.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was great.
All right. Hey, have a good one. You guys contact me during the week if anything cool happens.
All
okay.
Righty.
Sounds great. All right.
Bye
bye.
All right. See ya.
Bye.